and we'll read the Word of God together. We'll read the first 10 verses of Numbers chapter number 14. I ask you to pray for me this morning. I've been sitting there under quite a load. And it's not easy to preach on Sunday morning what I want to try to deal with today. And I really need your prayers. I really need your prayers. Numbers chapter 14, and we'll begin reading with verse number 1. The Bible says, "And all the children, or all the congregation, lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. All the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt." I'll probably not get to that verse of Scripture this morning, but you know that's the way it is in most Baptist churches. When God brings a congregation of people to a definite place in their Christian life, and they refuse to go any further with God, chances are they'll look to make them a captain. They'll try to find someone that's a little easier, a little softer, somebody that'll turn them back into their old worldly, carnal life that they had before they ever began to serve God. That's right. Amen. And the Bible said, "Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land, and give at us a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel." Let's pray together. Our Father, I'm so thankful this morning, Lord, that God's goodness is so rich to us.
Father, I thank you
this morning for Calvary. I thank you for the redeeming grace and the love and the mercy of God. And Father, thank you for the blessed word of God that you've given. It's my desire now to preach. And Lord, I need a touch of God. Lord, I need some fresh oil this morning on my soul. And not only on me, but Lord, I ask you to touch the hearts of your people. And Lord, touch this congregation today. And search our hearts. Lord, try the reins. And Father, if there's someone in our midst that's without God, I pray you'll save them. And Lord, if there's some rebellion, I pray you'll overcome them. If there's some in negative moods, I pray, Lord, that you'll improve them. And Lord, that you're getting glory and honor unto yourself today. I ask you to help me now. Lord, my words will be vain and vanity unless they're touched by the Spirit of God. So give help and grace, and I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you now, and you can be seated this morning. I want to call your attention, if I may. I touched on this thought in one of our services this week and never really got to preach my whole mind and heart on it. But I want to call your attention to verse number 2, where the Bible said, "And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron." I want to take this passage, if I may, this morning, and preach for just a little while on halting the march, stopping the march of God's people. I want to say again, or if I may, by way of introduction, just carry us one more time back down into the land of Egypt. Somebody said, "Brother Hall, I'm kind of weary of you carrying us down in the land of Egypt." Well, I want to say to you that I've never gotten tired of hearing the story of the redeeming grace of Almighty God. Amen. sovereign power of Almighty God. May I say that God, with a strong arm and with a mighty hand, had delivered the children of Israel out of the house of bondage. He had brought them to the Red Sea. I want to say this. They began to complain at the Red Sea, and their hearts filled with fear. But friend, that was God's direction for their life. That was God's plan for their life. And as God brought them to the Red Sea, the waters parted in a glorious way. And they were crossed on dry land. But the Bible said in the book of Hebrews that the Egyptians, which is saying to do the same, it said that the water came upon them and they all drowned in the midst of the sea. And brother, when they got on the other side, they began to sing a song of deliverance to God. That's right. I heard old brother, not Bibby, but old brother Milford Biddle say that there's one thing every child of God has got, and that's a song in their heart. Amen. That's right. He lifted me up out of a horrible pit. He set my feet on a solid rock, established my goings, and He put a song down in my heart. And brother, if you're saved by the good grace of God today, there's a melody in your heart that's sweeter than the birds that sing. I'm glad, thank God, that one day on an old-fashioned altar, that the Holy Ghost of God passed by where I was. Just a little barefoot boy from Indiana, didn't know God, didn't have any money. I wasn't looking for God, but the Holy Ghost come looking for me. Hallelujah. And the high sheriff of heaven on that Sunday morning, way back in 1970, arrested my never-dying soul, pointed me to Calvary, showed me I could be free, and He saved me by the good grace of God. Oh, and God delivered them in a marvelous way. And then He directed them. He led them by a pillar of fire during the nighttime and a cloudy pillar during the day. And when that fire or that pillar would stop, the children of Israel would stop. And when it moved, they had moved. And God brought them to a place of destination. I want to say again this morning, it was God's will. It was God's plan for them to make Canaan land. He never intended for them to ever wander in the wilderness those 40 years. And brother, that's God's desire for your life tonight. Amen. He wants you in that land that flows with milk and honey. God wants you dwelling over yonder in Beulah land. He wants you in a place, brother, where there's joy unspeakable and full of glory. But honey, when they came to Kadesh Barnea, the Bible said that it was there that the march got halted. It was there that the march was stopped, and the people of God were turned and went on back into the wilderness, and it was there they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. I wonder what halted that march. Y'all should have shouted on the singing this morning.
Come on, preacher.
There ain't be no shouting on the preaching. What halted that march? Brother, God told Moses, said, get 10, get 12 spies. One man from every tribe. And send them over across that river, into that land of promise, and let them bring back a report. I don't know, that might have been the first survey trip. If it was, it proved out bad. Amen. God said, you get 12 spies and send them over and let them search out the land to see whether it's a good land and see how the inhabitants of the land are, what kind of people inhabit the land, and whether it's a rich land, a good land, a bad land, whatever kind of a land it is. And the Bible said they went across, 12 of them, and came back. And 10 began to gripe and complain, and they brought up a slander against the land and against Moses and against Herod, and the people began to murmur against the man of God. Amen. I wish you'd loosen up just a little bit now. Amen. Brother, has it ever occurred to you that 10 men swayed the minds of 2 million?
Right.
Amen. All it took was 10 men to influence 2 million. I mean, there was old Joshua and Caleb, and they stilled the people and said, it's a good land. A land flowing with milk and honey. And if the inhabitants there, he said, they're just bread for us. Some things can stop the march of the people of God.
Right.
Somebody, hey, everybody look up. I heard brother, the young man back there talking about revival. And he said, well, he said, I had some doubts about revival. I'm going to tell you why people doubt revival. Because they've got their eyes on the world. And brother, they're looking at society. I want to say to you this morning that this world and society cannot stop the march of the people of God. I don't care how bad the world gets, friend. It cannot halt the march of the people of God. I'm so sick and tired, fed up, and disgusted with preachers that's got their eyes on the world, and they've determined that because of the sinfulness of the world, that God's people can no longer have revival. I want to say, you friend, that revival is not for the world to get rid of. It is for the children of God. And there's only one person that can keep you from having revival, and that's you.
Right.
I'll tell you what, the devil ain't going to stop God's people.
No.
Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, you think the devil's got the power or the world, either one, to stop the march of the people of God? Let me give you two verses. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And secondly, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And what is it that overcometh the world? Even your faith. I'm telling you how you can overcome the devil, overcome the world, march gloriously into the promised land, enjoy a spirit of life. The march of the people of God. No, sir. But I'm going to tell you who can. You can. And I'm going to tell you what did. Murmuring did. Oh, it ain't going to be no shouting message. I knew it wouldn't when God gave me this assignment. I've been sitting under a heavy load all morning. Amen. I knew it wasn't going to be no easy assignment today, buddy. I'm going to tell you, the Bible said that when those 10 men brought up an evil report and a slander against the land, my text verse tells me and all, A-double-L, every one of them, all the children of Israel began to murmur against Moses, and they murmured against Aaron. And brother, it was that slanderous report to God, and I'll deal with that a little bit later in the message, but God have mercy on that crowd, my friend, that denies the power and the blessings of God and denies the goodness of the land wherein God has brought his people to.
Right.
Oh, yes. Brother, and they begin to murmur. Now, I don't want nobody to leave me now. I don't expect no shouting, but don't leave me.
Right.
Give me ears. I must as well blow this out. I know the pastor, he don't want me to blow it out, he can tell me to hush. But I'm sitting there wondering why we ain't had all the touch on the service this morning that we've been having all the rest of the week. And Brother Kevin, I believe I've got it filled out. I've got it figured out. I don't necessarily believe, my friend, and you can get mad at me if you ought to. If you do, don't come talk to Brother High Priest, talk to Brother Hall. He ain't the one that said it. Brother Hall is the man that said it, not your pastor. I'm going to tell you what I think. Some of you rascals ain't been here all week, bless your heart. Amen. That's right. Amen. they got there and listened to that false report, the Bible said they begin to complain.
Right.
Now listen to me just a minute. Webster's 1828 dictionary defines murmuring as this. It says to grumble, to complain, to utter complaints in a low, half-articulated voice, to utter sullen discontentment. But if you were to go to Deuteronomy chapter number 1, you'd find where Moses is rehearsing what took place at Kadesh Barnea, and he said this about the people. He said they murmured in their tents. Brother, they didn't murmur down the house of God, Brother Hyde.
Go ahead, brother.
Brother, they didn't grumble
down
the house of God. I mean, when they got out the congregation,
yeah,
the people of God, everything was hunky-dory. I mean,
preachers died,
and everything died. It was God bless you, brother.
Yeah.
Hallelujah to God, sister. And it's good to be in the house of God today.
Yeah.
My prayer. But honey, when they got down to their house and got the door shut, where they thought nobody could hear them, brother, they began to gripe and murmur and complain and grumble and gripe and bellyache and moan and groan.
Hey.
Amen.
They
didn't dare do that.
Hello.
Where somebody could hear them, but they grumbled and murmured in the confines of their own house.
Amen.
But that's Moses and the matter.
Amen.
Right, brother. Right. Amen. I said, this guy rough for Sunday morning.
Preach,
brother. You ought to shout it on the singing.
Preach.
Right.
Preach.
Yeah.
Shout on the preaching.
Now, y'all ain't left, have you? Now, I define what the word means in Webster's. But I'm going to tell you what it means in the Strong's Concordance in the Hebrew. Are you ready? It means to complain, to be obstinate in words. But I'm going to tell you something deeper than that, and it's in your Strong's. Look it up. The very first definition of murmur in Strong's Concordance is to stop. Oh, it is to stop. Look her up. It is to stop. And they're murmuring, stop the murmur for the people of God.
Preach.
And honey, if you want Westside Baptist Church to come to a dead stop in her tracks, to have God to put the brakes on, I mean, come to a screeching halt, just open your mouth and block your tongue about what they're going on. Tell the house of God.
Right.
Amen.
Preach, brother.
Preach,
brother.
That's right. Somebody said, how? How does murmur complain? How does that mean to stop? I'm going to say, I'm glad you asked.
Well,
I'm just the man to explain it to you.
Yeah.
I learned a long time ago, Brother Moon, that people murmur about things they don't agree with.
Right.
They murmur and complain about what they don't go along with.
Right.
Well, after all, Pastor Hyde down there, he sings the choir too much, and he sings that ladies' trio too often. Amen.
Preach.
And the pastor down there
preach.
Got his little pep kicks. Amen. That he sings all the time. And that's right.
Preach.
I want to say, maybe if you get along with God, get out of touch with God, maybe the man of God used you somehow.
Amen.
And use somebody else.
Preach. Amen.
Amen.
Amen,
brother. Oh, I don't like the way he handles the money.
Look out.
I don't like the way they spend money.
Look out.
I can't call no business meeting here. I'm not a member here. Don't have no authority to call a business meeting here. But if you don't buy a new piano, you regular in the devil.
Good, good, good. Amen.
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 Amen. The babies and the hives and everything else. And up there in a mud fence on top of it. Murmur because they do not agree with what's going on. I'll go. I said that to get him off of me.
Yeah.
Oh, I went out on that Saturday. I was doing things a man ought never do. devil had a hook in their nose, and the taskmasters kept them day and night in the slime pits making brick. The load was heavy.
Yeah.
The burden was heavy.
Yeah.
I'm satisfied that when God finally got them out of there, and that sea parted, and they got across the sea, and it closed up. I'm going to tell you something. They might be a Christian down in the wilderness, but they'll never one time in the world.
Hey,
hey,
oh,
they
yeah.
They had no boats. They're going back across the heavens. Pharaoh's whole army in confusion and turmoil, upside down in the water. Amen. Destroyed forever.
Amen.
Amen. And when they heard Moses say, the Lord said, from now on, he had fought all of our battles.
Amen.
I'm satisfied that when that sea closed up, and after they had sung that new song, Joshua and Caleb began to say, I am bound for the promised land. I am. I'm bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I'm bound for the promised land. Hey, can I say to you this morning, will you come and go with me? What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying after I got saved, God kept a feeling
for the
Holy Ghost. He kept a pointing yonder. Amen. I'm a trap. Amen. Brother Hines, there's been a lot of mountains I've had to go up.
Oh, yeah.
There's been a lot of, and I thought sure, just as sure as you're living, that every time I'd reach the top of that mountain, I'd be able to see the promised land.
Yeah.
Oh, but for a long while,
for a long while,
I'd reach that mountain to the top, and oh my gosh, oh, there'd be another valley and a mountain on the other side. It'd be down the mountain, down into the valley, and the Holy Ghost still a loving and still a dealing. Oh, yes, through a pillar of fire at night and a cloudy pillar during the day. He's a leader. I've taken the sons of God. They're led by the Spirit of God. Not least his dear children. I know that's right. Some through the water, some through the fire, some through the blood, some through the fire, but all through the blood of Christ.
Yes, that guy is right. Man.
There came a day. Yes. There came a day. Not 83, July 2, John Bethel's line walking more than the top of the grace of God.
That's right.
And that night in the rear of Memphis camp, when a glass grabbed that flesh, stalk of grace, and pulled up in here. I've said all that to say this. That's exactly what God's trying to do.
Yes.
Almost 2 years ago when I was here, going on with God. And I'm telling you, 2 years and a half or 2 years later, run your mouth, and you've done murder. You've done murder. That's right. Now, where am I looking at right now? I ain't got too much. Amen. That's right. It might be later, and some of you fight for you. They murmured. And when they murmured, it halted the march. I'm going to tell you something. Some of you may get over, and some of you may not. But I know this one thing, that it's God's will. It is God's will for this body of believers to watch the waters of the Jordan River come to a dead standstill and stand up on a heap, and God Almighty lead you over on dry land. Whole body. That's right. The only thing that I found that halted it was murmuring. Now I'm going to say to you this morning that their murmuring did not start at Cadesh Barnea. It did not. Brother Hyde, I found the first place in my Bible where the children of Israel marched when God, when the Bible said that God brought them out of the wilderness of Shur and went in the end of the wilderness, and he said they found no water there. He said they found water, but the water was called Marah. It was bitter water. It was bitter water. The Bible said that it was there that the people began to murmur about the water. Amen, because the water was bitter. Now, just lay off of that. I just preach a stand on the grace of God. They ain't nothing about you. believe that the Cathedral Quartet, for a three-hour performance, draws 10,000 murmured about the course. Now, don't nobody leave me now. I told you it wasn't going to be easy.
Go ahead.
But in Numbers chapter 12, Aaron and Miriam begin to murmur in the camp. You see how that murmuring behind in the tents led to murmuring down to the house of God. That's right. You bring your old bitter spirit and your old bitter heart from the church, from your house, down to God's house. And here's what they said. Now, don't nobody leave me. I can turn over and show you. But please don't believe me. I know it's difficult for them, but don't believe me.
Go ahead.
What they said. Mary and Aaron begin to murmur, and they said, "Hey, has God spoken to Moses only, or has he not spoken to all of us?
Yeah.
Has he spoken to every one of us?" I'm going to tell you what they were saying. They're saying, "We're just as spiritual." That's right. "And we're just as much a prophet as what God is. And if God speaks to Moses, God will speak to us. We don't need, hey, I mean, God speaks to us just as well as he does to Moses, my friend. And God called Miriam to come down with leprosy with us."
Right.
You hear me well? When Miriam and Aaron complained in the camp and murmured in the camp, my Bible tells me, they said, "Oh, Moses said, Lord, don't lay this sin to a charge." And God said, "If her father would look the sin in her face, she'd have been shut out 7 days. She'd turn around 7 days and would have turned around 7 days. Their marks were halted for 7 days. I'm not preaching about some of these guys.
No.
This is a serious matter. I knew it was serious to business this morning. That's a serious, serious matter. I'm a preacher on. And them two begin to murmur, and for 7 days, God's people stood still. Wouldn't it be terrible? Wouldn't it be terrible if somebody went out here last night and murmured, and for 7 days, maybe 7 times 7, maybe 70 times 7, the judgment of God sitting on this church, and the church come to a standstill because somebody rattled their mouth and bumped their gum when they ought to have been keeping quiet.
Right.
Did I think it? But I mean, somebody's well this morning. I guarantee you, Brother Hall knows when he's in somebody's well. Everything ain't peaches and cream, folks.
Right.
There's some hard knocks. That's right. There's some stumps in the field, buddy.
Yeah.
God told me a long time ago, when you run into one up the side, then don't be afraid of the faces. Just set the plow down a little bit deeper and just keep on plowing.
Yeah.
The plow, the stump out. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Wow.
They murmured because of the course. They murmured in the camp. When they come to the crossing, they murmured at the crossing.
Right.
Just constant murmurs and complainers. Now, I'm going to give you the three thoughts, and then I'm going to come back to this murmur and finish it. They murmured. Then when God turned them back, they mourned. And after the mourning, they meandered for 40 years in the wilderness.
Right.
Now, I'm going to tell you what. You might murmur now, but honey, when you see the judgment of God fall upon your children for your murmuring and your complaining, right there is where you're going to regret laying your tongue against the work of God on
him. That's what's happened to
you.
Amen.
That's right. You lay your tongue against what's happened. It won't be you that suffers from it, buddy. Oh, you, the worst of heaven. Worst of heaven to you. You'll die and go on to heaven. But your children, not if God don't come, are y'all hearing me? It's your children that's going to have to live under the judgment of God until God brings them back to the garden and lets them go.
Right.
Hear me well. God still down in a hole right now.
Go ahead.
Look here. And I share this with you. The Bible said that crowd, they brought up a slander. They brought up a slander. And look here. They didn't bring up a slander against Moses and against Aaron. I'll read this from you out of the chapter that we just read from. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land. That land was God's promise to them. That land is where God wanted them. May I say that slander was a direct insult against Almighty God. That's right. They wasn't insulting Moses. Moses is not the one that picked out that land. It was God that picked it out. Look here, you know what slander means? Slander means a false tale or a report maliciously uttered and intending to injure the reputation of another by lessening him in the esteem of his fellow citizens. It means to bring disgrace and reproach or to give an ill name to. You hear me well? Brother Kevin, I'm trying to help this person. You hear me well? You hear me well what I'm getting ready to tell you? When they brought up that slander against the land, brother, when they brought up that slander against the land, God told them it is a good land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. There's victory over there. There's joy over there. There's revival over there. But that crowd of ten says the land is not so. It's a land that eats up its inhabitants.
Right.
In other words, I'll tell you, you'd have to pack a knapsack to get across it. It's a poor land. It ain't worth a fight. That's what some folks want to tell you. It ain't worth a fight. And it ain't worth a battle. But I'll tell you, they brought up a slander. Something about the people here. You preach to folks long enough, you'll learn something about them. And you hear me well. They might not be anybody here guilty of what I'm preaching, but an ounce of prevention is worth a pound
you
of cure.
That's right.
You better believe that's right. I wouldn't listen to nobody like that.
No, no. I'm not going to.
Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?
Amen.
I'm telling you, if God being my helper, God being my helper, we come back tonight, the preacher don't run me off for preaching this hard this morning. When I come back tonight, I'm going to preach on being the people, being the church, and save the people, being the church, and save the people.
And, yes,
faith.
Son,
I'm looking for revival.
Me too, brother.
Oh, time way.
Amen.
I believe this church is a good candidate for
it.
Hey, but look here. Can I show you this morning why these people, why they brought up that false report and why they murmured the way they did against the land? I'm going to show you. There's only one reason. There's only one reason. Because of a lack of contentment. They were not contented with what they had and with what they were doing. Oh, I know that's right. Just not contented. Just not contented. The definition of contentment is an inward, quiet spirit that submits to God in every situation. And buddy, I've never seen so many discontented men that's alive in the church, living in church today. I've never seen so many discontented preachers. Brothers, what we've got in the land today. Amen. You couldn't satisfy them. They're not satisfied with anything, Brother Hyde. Some of them got automobiles. I'm telling you, they've got two, and I know preachers got two and three brand new automobiles, drawing a big salary, living in a new home, and they ain't got no more use for their people in their church than a man in the moon. They're just not contented with life. I'm going to tell you what the problem is. They need a friend. That's it! About 6 inches below their collarbone.
Amen. All right.
Son, he satisfies me.
Yes, sir.
I got that big long-armed preacher up there in the mountains, Brother Hyde. I got to drink a well. One, I drank out of that well one day, and ever since I got a drink, I've been well satisfied.
Yes, brother. Yes, sir.
Glory to God. Not content. Not satisfied. Don't have enough. Give me more.
Yeah.
What
about
somebody else's God? I got to have this.
That's
I got to have that. Discontented. Lack of content. Contentment, now look here, is not just a good mood.
No, sir.
It's not just a good mood.
Yeah. I'm not always
more than just a good mood. That's right. You might be in a good mood today and meaner than a snake tomorrow.
Yeah, for the end of it.
Amen. Our contentment is not affected by external situation. Whatever happens on the outside won't affect us on the inside.
Right.
Now I'm going to tell you why. Because contentment is a constant tenor and temper of the heart. A constant temper and tenor of the heart of man. It's stability. It is being stabilized and in content with what God may allow. And it's an inward thing, not an outward thing. As you hear me well, there's only one thing that can destroy your contentment, rob you of your joy, and take away your peace, friend, and that is you and what you allow in your heart.
Amen. Yes, right. Yes, sir. No doubt about that.
Well, they murmured about the course, murmured in the camp, they murmured at the crossing. You hear me well. Murmuring our discontentment originates with murmuring. They were discontented, so they murmured. It was consummated in rebellion. Old Caleb said, only rebel ye not against the Lord. When it was consummated, it brought rebellion, and the rebellion brought the halt of march. And they that murmured mourned, and when they finished mourning, they meandered for 40 years. In the wilderness. Let me ask you something this morning. How many of you in here, I wouldn't want you to raise your hand up. How many of you in here know in your heart that in one time or another you've laid your tongue to somebody in this church? Whether it be the pastor's wife, whether it be the neighbor sitting next to you, across the aisle from you, two seats behind you, that you've laid your tongue to somebody and murmured against somebody just because they've done something you didn't particularly care for. You griped. You complained. You murmured. Look here, wouldn't it be terrible? Wouldn't it be terrible to face God on Judgment Day? God looks you in the